The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never taste death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets, who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham." Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and went out the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we pondered the mystery of how the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. How, as the early fathers of the Church, especially St. Athanasius, said, that before Mary ever conceived the Word in her womb, she had conceived in her heart. Great medieval artwork showed that the act of conception happened through Mary's ear, not in any other way, because she heard and believed. That's the power of the Word. We're all called to enflesh it. Today, Jesus said to the Jews and to us, swearing an oath, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." Peter would grasp that when he would say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Or at least we're supposed to. The beginning of Lent, we heard Jesus say to us as we were marked with ashes, and then anew on the first Sunday of Lent, "Repent and believe in the gospel. To repent of the ways that you haven't become one with my word, and to actually let that word take on your whole life." When we ponder the figure of Abraham, whom Jesus points out in today's gospel and whom the first reading ponders deeply, we see the type of faithful listening that the Lord asks of us. Abraham had three great tests in his life, three great stages. First was to leave all that was comfortable for him. He was a 75-year-old, an AARP member by the ancient standards. All the, you know, you're working with a lot of young people, but in my parish life, I've worked with a lot of old people, and you're constantly getting that you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Abraham was at least on his 11th dog year. And yet, God asked him to pack everything up and go not to a beachfront property in an ancient Middle Eastern resort, but to go where I will show you. Could have been taken up to downtown Detroit in 2015. Abraham didn't know, but because he believed in the word of the Lord, he received the gift of that life and off he went. Little did he know that he would have to fight for the property as a septuagenarian, but he did with faith. Likewise, every Lent, God asks us to trust in his word in the same way and to leave our own comfort zones. We might think, "Hey, we're not apostolate anymore. I'm not sure I've really got it in me." Yeah, we do. God will give us that grace. Because if we're not willing to move, we're dead. Second great stage in the growth of faith in Abraham was God's unbelievable promise to this man and this woman who hadn't conceived a child in their own old age, that not only were they going to be blessed with a child, not only would they become parents of a family, but parents of a nation and parents of many nations. And God took Abraham, as you know, outside and said, look above Abraham and count the stars. So will your descendants be. And it tells us 3 verses later, then dusk came. Abraham was looking into the heavens when the sky was blue. He knew that the stars were there, even though he couldn't see the stars. And he believed that so would his children be. And God didn't hear the prayer. I mean, it would have been enough for Abraham at 75 to have conceived a child within Sarah that night and just have him wait at the 9 months. Instead, God had him wait a year, 2 years, 3 years. Abraham might have doubted, as Sarah would, when God hadn't answered that prayer. 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. It took 25 years for God to fulfill, but Abraham's faith didn't waver. You know, for us, as chaste celibates, a lot of the times we can occasionally feel sterile. We might not be able to see the fertility that the Lord has given us spiritually. But Abraham's whole example of believing in the Lord's word is an inspiration for us. When St. Peter asked Jesus in the gospel, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What will we receive? Jesus promised to give us 100-fold more in this life, in eternal life. What does that mean? We know how fruitful Abraham was. God's promising that we will be 100 times more spiritually fertile, even than our father in faith. It's a mind-blowing reality. We wouldn't be able to believe it unless the Lord swore an oath promising it to us. But he did. And that's the second great Lenten leap in faith that the Lord is asking of us. To believe in his word, even when the promises exceed our human ratiocination, we trust in him and we receive life from that word. We'll only see so many of those generations of spiritual progeny later at the Lord's right side, but they will be there. Today, look up into the heavens before it rains this afternoon. So will your spiritual descendants be. Believe and get life from this word. And then the third great leap in faith of Abraham is the famous sacrifice of Isaac. After he'd waited those 25 years, after he'd waited essentially a century, 13 years after that, when Isaac was getting of age, the Lord asked him, to sacrifice what he loved most, to sacrifice, it seemed, the entire promise and the entire covenant God had made. And Abraham was willing to do it. Why? So we're pondering in the office of readings throughout these days, the letter to Hebrews tells us the answer. Because Abraham recognized that even should Isaac be sacrificed, God had the power to raise him from the dead. Now that would be an incredible faith in any parent. Think about how much greater 1,800 years before Jesus rose from the dead. But Abraham knew that Isaac was the son of the promise, and even should Isaac die, God would do something to be faithful. Abraham was staking his entire existence on God's word, and that, again, is the third major leap for us. What is it that the Lord's asking us to sacrifice? It might be something that seems so small, but it's a gargantuan obex. It's a gargantuan obstacle for the Lord to be able to come. And the Lord's asking, will you sacrifice that for me, knowing that I can raise that from the dead. The evangelical councils, which we ponder anew throughout this year for consecrated life, are like this, that if we sacrifice all of this property, we'll become richer. That if we sacrifice marriage and family, that we will be filled with an ever greater love, that if we sacrifice our own freedom, we're going to be made ever more free in the truth. Lord's asking those types of sacrifices for us. And he wants us to go out to Mount Moriah, the ancient Calvary, and sacrifice them together with him in a holocaust of love in which we receive far more than we give. At the very end of today's gospel, Jesus says something that is a little startling. Before Abraham came to be, I am, he was citing, of course, his divinity there with that same expression that God had used at the burning bush. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What did that mean? It's not that Abraham had that clairvoyance looking 1800 years in the future. We've got no evidence of that in sacred scripture, although God could have done it. But when Abraham was looking ahead, his progeny, and to become the father of many nations, in fact, the father of them all, he was, in essence, seeing Jesus. He was seeing his resurrection and the fact that his and Sarah's dead loins were able to be brought to life. He was able to see Jesus, in essence, as the lamb that God himself would provide for the sacrifice. Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day, but he saw only in shadows. How much greater should be our joy that we see, in essence, the sacramental reality for which Abraham longed. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, I am comes to drag us with him into the present as we leave the past to his mercy and consecrate the future to his providence. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. As we prepare to enter into this new and eternal covenant, let's ask him to give us the grace to meet him there so that we will be ever new and eternal with I am, who came to be God with us and wishes to be with us forevermore. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.